Praise the Lord.
Hello?
Pastor Dan. Hello
Amen. Say something.
Hello.
Hello there.
Yeah,
Sister Linda. Hello. How are you all tonight?
All right. We're just trying to do a real quick sound check because I had to finally switch to that other Skype.
Okay.
So
sound check 1, 2, 3. Make sure your speakers are turned up high on your computer.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on right now. Audio.
Y'all are sitting in front of a computer using what, a webcam?
Oh, I'm not using a webcam.
What are you using?
I'm using a mic and a board and all that stuff.
So you're using a mixing board for your microphone, and then you hear me coming back through a set of speakers on the computer?
Headphones.
Headphones. Oh. Well,
yeah.
So what do? You take the headphones and split them into two, and each one of you have one in the ear?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I split it into, we have two headsets, yeah.
Ah, okay. So I was just trying to find out because we're looking for a good solution. We got a couple guests or couples, and typically what we do is we isolate them and put them in a separate room on their own Skype headset. But many say, "Hey, I don't want to do that. I want to sit next to my lovely."
As long as you got a good mic, this mic right here is it's like a $150 mic, but it's a professional mic. I can tap. And I need to turn the heater off so you can't hear it. But I can tap and it picks it up.
The biggest problem they're having, some of the other guests, is being able to hear me. And so I was curious to see how y'all were listening. Some of them just have plug-in speakers.
Oh, okay. I had to turn off the heater.
But if you've got any way to boost your volume in your sound panel, that might give you more audio.
Do I need to be louder?
No. I mean, for my voice coming to you, if I'm not loud enough...
Oh, I am. I'm adjusting my mic settings when you're talking. You know what? I've been using Skype for the last 10 years.
You have. You didn't start yesterday, so praise the Lord.
Yeah, no. I didn't start for a Mega Man's program.
Amen.
Anyway.
Messiah's Branch, the Prophecy Hour, are pioneers, folks. I was listening to them in 2003 when I was headed out to Columbia. And when did you actually start Messiah's Branch? What was your first show you think you did?
First radio program?
Yes, sir.
We did the first radio program. I did the first radio program in 2002, not long after 9/11.
Wow.
I did shortwave for roughly about several years until I got on American Voice Radio in 2004, and I've been on American Voice Radio ever since.
You've been with them a long time, and you've been on the air, brother, for a long time, faithful to the Lord. We're excited tonight to be here with Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin of Messiah's Branch. The Prophecy Hour is their broadcast, and we've got the next hour together. Would you all like to open up your show in prayer tonight?
Yes, sure. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I just ask that you guide us in what we say tonight. Bless the people, Father. Lift the veil from their ears and lift the veil from their hearts so they can understand the words that we're about to give them, Father, for this dire thing that has happened not only in the United States, but this whole world. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen.
You know, I say amen to that. Sister Linda, welcome aboard tonight, and I'm going to turn the mic over to you and Pastor Dan.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm praising the Lord, and you know what? I just want to say very quickly that I got a chance to watch the State of the Union last night, and I'm proud of our president. He stood up for the children when many people didn't even do anything. They would just sit there faceless, motionless, like they don't even care. Back to you.
Yeah, amen.
I'm real proud of him.
Amen.
I cried in parts of it.
Yes.
He brought tears to my eyes several times.
Yeah, absolutely. I was choked up about it. But you know what I did watch in it? I mean, you know what? I loved our president. I love his message. And you see these heartless people, you know, sitting there, like some of them like with faces of stone. You wonder where this comes from, but we know where it comes from. You know, if you're not of God, you're susceptible to the devil. And I'm not saying every one of these Democrats or even Republicans, any of them, are demonic, demonically possessed, but there is so much demonic activity in this world. And I'm going to try to give you, the folks out there some light as to what is really going on. And we're going to start it off with this article that I want, a little bit of an article that I want my wife to read. And so you can go ahead right here.
U.S. exorcist, demonic activity on the rise. A look at the growing need to battle the devil. Patty Armstrong, Indianapolis. There is an alarming increase in demonic activity being reported by those who work in exorcism ministry, said the exorcist for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Although steps are being taken to increase the number of exorcists, demand is still outpacing supply. Father Vincent Lampert has been an exorcist for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis since 2005 and is the pastor of the St. Malachi in Indianapolis. He trained in the North American College in Rome and assisted with more than 40 exorcisms with longtime Italian exorcist Father Carmen DeFilippi.
Yeah.
Although the identities of most exorcists are hidden, Father Lampert often gives talks to warn against evil and turn people toward the power of Galway. In an interview with the Register, he said that he sees an increasingly number of people involved in satanic rituals and opening themselves up to the evil. The problem isn't that the devil has upped his game, but more people are willing to play it.
Stop. Okay. Now, he pointed out several things, but archdiocese is saying, he's pointing out that they're having to train many, many more exorcists and so on and so forth because it's on such a rise. We're going to try to bring to you what that's about. Why do you think it is? Well, the reason that it is, well, first let's do this. Do this right there.
When he was appointed as an exorcist by his bishop in 2005, there were only 12 others. He said that there are now about 50 other exorcists that he knows of personally in the United States.
Okay. So what the problem is, the church isn't teaching what sin is. When there's more sin out there, that leaves the doorway open. And everybody knows that. Whenever there's a demonic possession, you know, you always look for the doorway. So the doorway, the church is not teaching what sin is, and so that people are in sin. So one of the very root causes that's brought this on, and it's getting worse and worse from this generation to the next, because they're not being taught.
Second Thessalonians. Now we beseech thee, you brethren, by the coming of the Lord Yeshua Messiah, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by the letter, as from us, as that the day of Yeshua is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come, except there shall be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called Yahweh, or that is worshipped, so that he is Yahweh, sitteth in the temple of Yahweh, showing himself that he is Yahweh.
Okay, what that's saying, and that's King James Version, we shouldn't have changed that. See, number four says, he who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called after Yahweh, of course, or that is worshipped, that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, people are going to take that scripture and say, okay, the Antichrist is going to go in and sit down in a physical temple and declare himself as God. Now, I believe that this scripture is twofold, but are we talking about a physical temple or something else? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, Know ye not that you are the temple of Yahweh, and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of Yahweh, him shall Yahweh destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And there's many scriptures I know that are, so we're talking about this again being twofold. So I'm not ruling out a physical temple, but clearly We are pointed at as being the temple of Yeshua. The only one that can overcome Satan is Yeshua. So how do we overcome Satan? That's simple. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives where, Mother?
In me.
In me. So what's it say in John 4:4? It says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So Satan, at this time, exalting himself in the temple of Yahweh, and it's happening all the time, because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, Satan can come in and dwell. Evil simply is lack of light, the light of Yeshua, for he is the light of the world. Just as there is not black only, but if darkness, what is darkness? It's just what?
Absence of light.
Absence of light. The church is not teaching, so what's the problem? The church is not teaching on sin, telling you that you do not need the Old Testament because it was all fulfilled. The devil just wants you to do away with anything other than what the Father wants you to do. So Satan the devil says, just do whatever you want. But by doing whatever you want, it's contrary to the Word of God. And then you have the 501(c) church out there saying, well, the Old Testament, the teachings, the Torah, well, that's of no use to you. It's done away. It was fulfilled. So the Satanists equate independence from God with Satanism, doing your own thing instead of obeying God's word. This is what the serpent offered Eve, that is independence from God. Satanists define Satanism as the freedom from Yahweh's laws. Satanists say, hey, in America, we can legally do wickedness. And yes, they can. And it's getting more and more so all the time with things like that abortion thing?
Killing babies at birth.
Yes. They define Satanism as the pursuit of pleasures. And they've been teaching that for a long time. Just do whatever you want, you know, and it's okay. Well, it's not okay.
They started that in about the 60s, didn't they?
That's when it really started coming about. But it even goes back further. Each generation is responsible for the previous, you know, for the next generation. And so when you go back and say, this generation is lawless, well, the generation before apparently didn't teach them what law was, you understand? So it's been progressive ever since after World War II. Anyway, further evidence of America's absolutely Satanistic society is, well, it comes from Marilyn Manson. He's a singer and songwriter. And he says, the idea of Antichrist is an unspoken knowledge that every person has. It's just the acceptance of yourself as a powerful being who can make their own decisions. And that comes from Marilyn Manson, the Beautiful People. Now, didn't we do a program about that the other night?
Yeah, it was a bunch of different songwriters and singers that are practice devil worship, and they summons up demons to do their shows before they do them.
Right. We gave a whole list of them, you know, and Marilyn Manson was one of them, and there was a lot of shocking ones that people like, and
the songs. Beatles, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, well, the Beatles had Aleister Crowley on their album cover.
And wow.
Here's what it, Christianity begins as a personal relationship with who?
Yeshua HaMashiach.
Well, of course. And when it went to Greece, it became a philosophy. When Christianity went to Rome, it became an organization. When it went to Europe, it became culture. But when Christianity came to America, it ended up being a business.
501(c).
Right. And that's a corporation, and I know I go back to this on practically every program, and I've been saying it for many, many years on every radio program probably since I started, but this is a responsibility. The 501(c) church, for the most part, now there are good churches out there that, you know, that still teach that you need the Old Testament and the New Testament, both. It goes together. But mostly, you say, well, we're a New Testament church. You don't need the Old Testament. And they're really in a lot of churches nowadays, and especially in Catholic churches, they really don't even want you to read the Bible. They just want you to listen to what they got to say.
So, and believe every word of it.
Well, of course, believe every word that they got to say, but you're listening to man and not to the Father. Apostasy is widespread in these last days. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers that will have itching ears." That's what they're talking about. They're just going in and talking and trying to turn the church into entertainment centers. And so if the people aren't listening and learning what sin is, then what happens if you don't, and the word's real specific about it, and I'll get to that in a minute. But the Bible does explain what sin is. But go ahead, read this.
"Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." Or as the Bible says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself.
So that's, again, that's teaching yourself as God and your own rules, and the Bible predicted it, of course. Everything's in the Bible. It told it in from the beginning. And so it's telling you what would come in the last day. Satanism is everywhere in American society and in the world today. Satanism is about worshiping yourself because you are responsible for your own good and evil. Now, that came from the long, hard road out of hell, and that was in Reagan books, and that was written in 1998. And if you want to get technical, it was page 164. Anyway, so are you there with us? Or did we lose you?
Oh, no, we are live, and I'm excited to be here tonight with Pastors Dan and Linda Catlin. Prophecy Hour. You're covering some great issues tonight. The enemy is on the attack tonight, Brother Dan and Sister Linda. If the church doesn't speak up, who's going to speak up? I want to inject something here for a second. You know, you were talking, Sister Linda, that you and Brother Dan cried when you saw the State of the Union. You know, I felt an overwhelming urge to cry also. I said, "God, what's wrong with me?" I was seeing the heart of a man who really cares for this country. And, you know, I saw POTUS, President Trump, before he takes the podium to speak, he was going around and he was shaking hands, and he also afterwards, and there's a time where he went by the Supreme Court justices, and Kavanaugh was really happy to meet him, smiled, and he stepped out, and he shook the president's hand, and the president gave him the nod, and I just saw in my spirit, President Trump was saying, "Kavanaugh, I put you into position. Run with it. God bless you." Knowing that President Trump isn't going to be here much longer. 2 more years for this term, 4 more for the next one, and he's gone. He's pushing 80 right now. I hope he lives to be 120. But President Trump knows that his last chance to do anything for his grandchildren, for this country, is now. And he's passing the torch to people. He was nodding to Kavanaugh. "Kavanaugh, I've given you a great opportunity. Now run with it and bless the people. Use it to help people." President Trump is not a career politician. He's just passing through. And why does he have this zeal and vigor to make change? Because he knows time is limited for us all. And we're not going to have it tomorrow if we don't make some changes today. And he's trying to do what he can to help this country survive what the Sodomocrats have tried to do to it in the United Nations and all these other evil cabalist groups. The cabal out there, you know, wicked men and women want to destroy this country and sell it off. Sell off your children after they've aborted them. Send their bone marrow to some person so they can have that therapy that they do with the stem cell. Sell the body parts to a cosmetic company. And, you know, the very people, many of them who are sacrificing your children, are like those that are turning the food into halal, where they put a curse on the food. What they're doing is these witches are sacrificing children. As my friend Richard Keltner brought out to me, he said they work for Satan, and they're using this opportunity to sacrifice the children as an opportunity to do a ritual murder for Satan and give him blood. God's not happy with it, folks. President Trump is doing all he can, and soon he won't be here anymore. If you and I don't take this grand opportunity that we've got and run with it, there'll be no one left. Back to you, Brother Dan, Sister Linda.
Yeah, amen. Double amen to that. Let's go with this. You know that Trump is, I'm going to say what I said last year or last week when we was on here. I don't like repeating myself, but I'm going to do it anyway. The people under Obama, many Christians cried and over and over laminated about Obama being in office, and they prayed. And I believe that the Father answered their prayers and the prayers of people around the world, that the time had not yet come, because if we would have continued on with Hillary, what would have happened with Israel would have been horrific already, and to even us. But the problem is this. So I said over and over that Donald Trump was given to us for a period of time to get our houses in order, because inevitably these things are going to happen. These people that are out there screaming these demonic things, this is going to happen. These things eventually, because we all know, look at the history of the United States, you might get 2 terms of a president that's good, and then you get somebody like Obama for 2 years. And so there is the point. At some point, that evil's going to come. How soon is up to us? How soon is up to us? We need to pray and be with the president. We already had a taste of it. Enough people didn't stand up for this last election. So what happened? We lost the House. And by losing the House, we lost a lot of ground. And so it is up to us. If everybody out there prays hard, then amen. We'll have Trump longer. But if not, we'll lose him right in 2020. And so it's up to us. So where does all, we need to figure out where all this is coming from. And we left off with, in this thing that I'm trying to get across, is Satan says, do what thou wilt. Huh?
I didn't say anything.
Anyway, Satan says,
keep going.
Somebody's cutting it.
I am muted, but did you hear somebody talk? Because I had a guest the other day said they heard something too. I'm wondering if someone's cutting in on us.
I thought I heard something.
That's strange. It
may be this new Skype. I finally had to download it just right before the program.
Yes, sir.
When I turned it on, and it's just ridiculous. There's got to be another way. Anyway.
Okay, I'm muted. If you hear something speaking, call out, because we may have a third party listening in. Keep going.
Okay. Well, if we do, brother or sister or whoever is listening, I pray that you might get saved from the words that you might hear. But anyway, the popular saying now is do what thou wilt, and that is the whole of the law. So where does that come from? That comes from this fellow by the name of Aleister Crowley. And if anybody out there, if you're listening to this, you're listening to it on the internet, you need to Google Aleister Crowley, and it will tell you all about him. Anyway, he wrote in his infamous Book of the Law, called the Thelema, and he calls himself Thelemanites. But here's the point: for there within are 3 grades, the hermit, the lover, and the man of the earth. Do what thou shalt be the whole of the law. He's telling us what the devil says. Do whatever you want to do. As long as it's contrary to what God wants you to do, then do anything you want. So that moves on. So Crowley teaches how to have the same thing Satan offered. And think about it. This is it. In Yeshua, Satan offered Yeshua in Matthew 4:9, that is fame for fortune and pleasure in return for worship. This is the same thing that the devil is offering right now. Read this scripture, Mother.
Matthew 1-10. Then was Yeshua led up by the Spirit, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of Yahweh, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh.
Every word that's breathed out.
And him shall only shalt thou serve.
Yeah, amen. And then the devil took him up to the holy city and setteth him up on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto them, if thou be Yahweh, the Son of Yahweh, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time dash thy foot against a stone. And Yeshua said to them, It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy Yahweh. Again the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. So he's offering him everything and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then Yeshua said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy Yahweh, and only him thou shalt serve. Now here's the point. Those words that Yeshua used against Satan the devil, where did they come from? You got any idea, Mother? That's the Torah.
Yeah.
He is just repeating what is said in the Torah. He repeated Yahweh's word to the devil to get rid of him. Now, if the Torah was done away with, he wouldn't use those words. If the Old Testament, so to speak, was done away, he wouldn't use those words. But by the church telling us, don't use those words, they're done away with, you understand the point? In fact, we're getting ready at the Mission Church to do a Bible study, and I found 41 pages of number 12 font of where the Torah is in the New Testament, and that's probably going to be the book that I write that I'm coming up with. It's going to take us a while to get with it. But the point is, he keeps saying, the law, the Torah is done away with. Anyway, so Crowley was the most famous, infamous Satanist of the 20th century, known by the title of the most wicked man in the world. Crowley's evil influence is monumental in rock and roll industry and among Satanists, Luciferian worshipers worldwide. Crowley taught the art of witchcraft by doing things backwards, literally.
My heart is the ruler of all my being. If my heart tells me it's true, that's good enough for me. Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez. So that's in music. We're back to music again. Right. So they're brainwashing you. So what is it? Do what thou will. That's the devil. And if you do what thou will, that means you can kill babies. That means you can sacrifice people. You can stab people. You can beat people up. You can lie. You can cheat. You can steal.
You can be transgender or gay.
Yeah, and even the Democrats come straight out and say all them things. We can cheat to win if we want. Go ahead.
The band Live sings in their song Operation Spirit, heard a lot of talk about this Jesus, a man of love, a man of strength, but what man was 2,000 years ago means nothing to me today.
So again, music completely disclaiming Yeshua. Whether it's Frank Sinatra, Elvis, or Ed Kolosky from the band Live, everything is doing things their way. The answers to your problems are in yourself and not in Yahweh or in a religion, Ed Kowalski, the lead singer of the band Live, says. The music group Mercedes sings their song, It's Your Thing. Well, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. There again, what is it? That's what the devil says. Hype Williams, the director of the video, I'm cut that part out. Go ahead, I'll let you talk a minute.
America is absolutely satanic nation. Because we have elevated our own will above Yahweh's will. Instead of obeying Yahweh and honoring the sacredness of marriage, Americans commit sexual immorality, which has led to over 51 million abortions. Sin also has consequences and hurts others. The whole concept behind Aleister Crowley's teaching is to become your own god or goddess by choosing for yourself between good and evil, just as Adam and Eve did. That's why Yahweh has allowed the whole world to become so messed up. That is because the men have made it this way.
And let's point out, that's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right?
Right.
Anyway, so what do we do? And then we're going to get in a conversation with Omega Man. What do we do? Well, we have a thing around the church. We call it RRAT, you know, and that's RRAT, which stands for realization. First, we realize that we're worthless pigs and sinners. Then the next R, through repentance, we repent of our sins. Even though we don't know what sin is at this point, we just know that we're worthless and we turn away from being worthless. Acceptance, that's the A. The acceptance is the acceptance that Yeshua HaMashiach died for our sins, that only through him can we get to the promised land, so to speak. And the last one is T. Turning away. Now, how do we turn away? Turning away comes after we learn the word of Yahweh, the Torah. In fact, in Romans, the King James Version of the Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. But for by the law is knowledge of sin. It tells us that we can't justify ourselves, but it also tells us that we know what sin is by looking at the law. Well, people say you're legalistic, but law is a very, very bad, bad translation. If you look up the word law, you find the word Torah. That's the root word for it. And it's an archery term, which means as an arrow hitting the mark. As you let an arrow go, it hits the bullseye. As an arrow hitting the mark, that's Torah. So missing the mark is sin. So how do we know all this? The advice was given by James the Just, as he was recorded in Acts, saying, James said, wherefore my sins, they had a lot of controversy. What the problem was is you had a whole bunch of Jews, and because now prior to this, which a lot of people don't get, prior to this moment, the Gentiles hadn't been being saved. It was just some Israelites, period, that were being saved. You got that? The Gospels was all played out with the Jews, okay? So, and it was a Samaritan woman and a Roman soldier, but basically it was all among the Jews. In fact, Yeshua said, only go to the lost tribe. He came for the lost tribes. Okay, now let's go on with that. So, when Gentiles started getting saved, they did just what I said. They came to the realization by preaching to them that, what? That they were sinners, that they were worthless. And then they repented, they turned away, they did those things, but they didn't know Torah yet. And it drove the apostles crazy at first. They said, how can these guys get saved? They don't know the Torah, they don't know the law, they don't know the instructions. But then, so they had a thing called the Jerusalem Council. And a Jerusalem Council talked about it. And this is what James, which is the brother of Yeshua, came up with. He says, therefore, my sentence is that we, talking about the Gentiles, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, but from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, from fornications, from those things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him by being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Now, for that, I know that's King James Version language, but what it says is this. Look, we just have to, look, in every city, Moses or the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, is being read over and over in every city. Now, all we have to do is teach them not from getting things from idols and from fornication and things strangled and from eating blood. Because those things, if they did them, wouldn't allow them into the synagogue to be able to hear, or into the outer court, where they could hear the Torah being read. So they just advised them to do the things that would allow them to go and get the Torah being read. Because it says, for as Moses of old time, in every city was being preached. So then they would go and learn then. And that's the same way it is today. A person gets saved, and then they learn what sin is. And how do they learn what sin is? Not by saying you throw away that book, but they learn what sin is by reading that book and having that book preached to them. Because the word even says, for how shall a man know by hearing and hearing the word of God, and how shall they know it unless a preacher preach it to him? So the country abides in sin because we have a 501(c) church out there that doesn't preach on sin for the most part, and it's welcoming in what? Abortion and transvestites and fortune-telling, same-sex marriage. I could go on for the rest of this hour just talking about the kinds of abominations that the people are being allowed into the church. And then you have churches like that one. You remember that one I told you about where they had the
pole dancing?
Yeah, the pole dancing and the girl on the high was spinning around on a rope in a scanty costume, you know, while the preacher preached. And that was in a charismatic church. And, hey, guess what? It was filling up with people. But that's what it is. They try and get better entertainment to get people in to hear them for money. not for the salvation of souls. And salvation only comes from repentance of sin. And then, you know, people say, you know, once saved, always saved. It's not that way. If you can, the word says that if you continue on in sin, once you receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain purpose looking for a judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversary. Which
means that if you know what you're doing is wrong and you continue to do it over and over again, you're not going to go to heaven, but you're going to go to the lake of fire.
And so where do you learn all the, what those things are good or bad?
In the Torah.
In the Torah. So the church is allowing the people to be in sin, and they'll be answerable for it. And so this is where this country's at. All sorts of, and I'm sure it's more than that all over the world from what I can see from the news. But I can only say this country as much because I live in this country and I can see firsthand. And I can see the results of it all over the place. Look at how women are dressed. I don't know how they dress in Indonesia over there where you're at Omega Man, but I'll tell you what, go to Walmart, it's like going to in the summertime, it's like going to a strip parlor almost. Well, we'll let you comment a couple of minutes if you want.
Brother, I think that the mode of dress that people are engaging in today is indicative of a spiritual condition. We were just mentioning earlier all the scantily clad young ladies out there. I have been in places in Vegas, could be at a restaurant, an IHOP, or just going out down the street in a mall, and some of the shorts that they wear are so short, and they know this. They're constantly having to try to pull it down because butt cheeks are showing. I'm like, if you're having to pull it down, why did you step out of your house with those clothes on? What is that
right.
Image that you're trying to project? Are you trying to project that you're available? But I think the truth of it is demons have taken over the society, and they are pushing people to get out there and just show their wares, guys and gals, for what? So they can put people into a bed of fornication. And many are suffering from rejection, you know, many reasons that drive people just to put their wares on display. But we got to be careful. The more you pull off, the closer you get to that Gadarene demoniac who was butt naked and running in the tombs. And when you have all your clothes off, I'm here to tell you, you're full on demon possessed, probably running around with legions. So start putting some clothes back on. Back to you.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, amen. But, you know, for the record, and it's clear from the word, not everybody that's in sin is actually demon possessed, but they are being led by people that are demonically possessed, and it's on a huge increase. And that's why ministries like deliverance ministries like what you have is really, really highly important, because, you know, people are being possessed and they're being fooled into doing these things and being influenced, and they have to be taught the truth. They have to be given after being the demonic cast out of them. You know as well as I do that if the Holy Spirit doesn't reside in, then the demon's just going to keep coming back, and it's going to bring more and more and more. And so to stop that demonic from coming back, you have to get the person to have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I know this personally up front. We've told the story on this radio program about he was, what, 12 or 14 at that time?
He was 12.
He was 12, and he wanted to murder his mother and father. And, you know, the demons were cast out of him from one church and then another church, and it kept coming back stronger and stronger. And finally, you know, and I even cast it out the first time without considering it. But before we cast him out the next time, we got rid of the grounding, and getting rid of the grounding also got him to get saved and get the Holy Spirit in.
Well,
and
most of that problem was he was not the one that was wanting it to leave his mom, and his stepdad was. But once he got to where it was so bad that he even had woke up with scratches on him, that scared him into wanting to get rid of it himself, and that's when you were able to.
Right, absolutely. And that's a real strong story. But, and we do know that he led was demon free until the time of his death in a car accident, I think 17 or 18. But the point is knowing what to do. So we, just as we read at the first of the program, how there's an increase in exorcists, we need people out there trained worldwide to do this. And you're getting ready to do that, aren't you?
God willing, we're going to have the resources available this year to do our first meeting. What we want to do, Pastor Dan and Linda, is hold a free meeting. In an area, I guess they call Midtown, New York, there's a church available for rental on a weekend over near the Empire State Building that my friend Richard Keltner of Watchman Radio located. Now, he is currently holding meetings every Friday night in Long Island. And what the plan was is to try to get to a more centrally located place that would be like Midtown area and open up the doors and bring in a speaker. We've got a friend over in Canada. By the way, make an excellent guest for your show. Pastor Joseph Jasinski, which God told him to start a training. They call it the School of Deliverance, and they go around the world and they teach people about our authority to cast out devils in Jesus' name. They demonstrate using the Word of God to build the case for deliverance. And it's never been done before in America. What we'd like to do is get Brother Joseph to come in, and we'll do a two-day meeting, a School of Deliverance, free for anybody who'd like to come out to be a part of. And if that takes off, then as we have more resources, we would try to do another meeting. We like to do one every month if we had the finances to do it. We've got a war chest now of about $1,000. It's going to take more than that. But, you know, bit by bit, we'll get there. And I'm excited about being able to do some meetings where people could connect, get some freedom, make some friends, get trained and equipped up. You know, folks, we've got to unify in these last days. When you come out to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour Radio, you're unifying with like-minded believers around the world. Being here with Pastor Dan and Linda tonight, we got to come together, let our voices be heard, and then we need to go out and do what Jesus did. There should be signs following, winning souls, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick that they recover, and we're called to minister to the poor, to the needy, to the homeless, visit those in the hospital, stand up for Israel, and stand up for the children who are being slaughtered right now. If you and I don't do it, who's going to do it? Back to you, Brother
yeah.
and Sister Linda.
Amen. Let's go with this. You know, I see demonic activity all the time, and you know, we are working in an area that we're working among the poor, the sinners, and some of them are homeless, which is, you know, that's what our ministry started off with the homeless, but homeless came out of the street, and then the poor keep coming back, and so we minister to anybody that walks into the door in many different ways. But the point is this: that's where Yeshua was at in the first place. Is he was out there where he needed to be. And that's where we need to be instead of sitting in a building and just waiting for the already saved to come in. You understand what I'm saying? Church isn't about the already saved, and yes, it is, but it should be equipping people to turn into, everybody's a minister. If you're saved, you're a minister. You need to minister to people. You need to spread the word of Yahweh, whether it's in a casual conversation or the way you treat people on the street. But right now, it is so critical because the hatred level that's out there is nothing but pure demonic. This is the first time that I've ever seen it so dangerous in the United States. People could go off and kill you for simply wearing a red MAGA hat. And that's not it's anything to do with politics, to murder somebody over a hat or beat some little kid up over their hat is demonic. That's not political. That's demonic. And this is what's here. Only way we've got to stand up. And the reason that, like I went through tonight to talk about Aleister Crowley, you've got to quit reading these garbage books and these garbage things and listening to these garbage singers that are putting out a garbage message, because these messages that they are putting out are there to brainwash you. Listen, your mind takes things in. When you come out and you come into the world, you're like, it's a blank thing there. And so your mind records what you put into it. If you put darkness into it, you're only going to get darkness out. If you put, so to get rid of the darkness, what do you got to do, Mom?
You have to put the light in.
So how do you put the light in?
The word, Yeshua.
You put the word in. Yeshua is the word made flesh, so you have to put the word in. So what's the word? The word is the teachings. The teachings, uh-oh, wait a minute, you're being told that it's done away with. So you're by taking the Torah and taking the Old Testament away from people, you're disarming them, and that's why sin is so abundant, because people don't know what sin is. For, and that's Romans. Come on. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight, but for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And the word law is Torah. And so you take away the instructions. They don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. And so they go ahead and they sin. And that's just doesn't work. And that's what we're seeing, the results of it. And so, folks, if you're listening to me tonight, if you need to talk to your preacher, you need to tell him that they need to start preaching the Torah, they need to start preaching the Old Testament, and not saying it's irrelevant, because, the next program I'm gonna come on, maybe, I'm not gonna read them all, because I can't read 41 pages of all these countless comparisons of scriptures, but I'm gonna bring you a few examples of how, if you did away with Torah, there would barely be anything left of the New Testament, because most of the New Testament is the Torah. Yeah, it's just quotes from the Old Testament. And how do we define anything? I was asked earlier tonight about the Book of Enoch. It's a good book. Read it. But you have to judge it by Torah, because Torah was good. It was given to us, and we can prove the Torah, but we can't prove books like Enoch. But we can use it as a backup book, is a reference book, but you have to judge it as we judge all things by the Torah, which was the word given to Moses, and he wrote it down, so on. So we need the Torah. We've got to get it back in our lives. That way we are not disarmed, because even Yeshua, now wait a minute, Christianity means what?
Christ-like.
Okay, so if we're to be Christ-like, then when the devil attacks us, we should do what? We should use the same tools that he used, because he was tempted, right?
Get thee hence from me, Satan.
Get thee hence from me, Satan. But he quoted the word of Yahweh. That's how he defeated him. He didn't make up words. He used Torah on him. It's like people say, well, you know, it's all about being circumcised in the heart, Pastor Dan. Okay, well, so if we do, so let's do away with that. Well, we can't do away with it. It's in the New Testament. That's what it says. But if you do away with the Old Testament, if you do away with the Torah, guess what? That is Torah. That's where it came from. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These things are Torah. Yeshua was just quoting Torah. That's what he was doing, just as Paul quoted Torah, just as James quoted Torah, just as John did. Yes, they had some of their own words, but it was all Torah thinking. And so it's not a legalistic book. It really, really isn't. And Torah isn't just the laws written in the book. Torah is the story of Noah. Torah is the creation. Torah is the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all the silly things that they did, and believe me, they did some pretty silly things, you know, whether it was, well, we won't go into all that, but
there's a lot of stories in the Torah.
Yeah, amen. So it's a lot of things, and it is how they handled it when they messed up, and so on and so forth. So he gave us something that we could defend ourselves with, but are we using it? No. Here in America, in the Western world, we say, we don't need that. You know, we're all about ourselves. We don't
need
it.
Well, now they're trying to even take the so help me God out of the oath when they take office. They don't want it in there no more.
Yeah, the Democrats were the Demorats or Demon Rats.
Demon Rats.
Demon Rats were trying to do that, and that was defeated. They got
so much
flack over it that they actually stopped it. But here's the point. it's not so much that they stopped it, which is amen that they stopped it, but it shows you what's in their hearts right. and what they will do if they completely take power. And if you don't get, you know, a Mega Man, that if just another, a few more of the Christian church in America stood up and actually voted, we would have no problem. If all the church voted, all the people that claim themselves to be evangelicals voted, we would have no problem. But the problem is the church no longer preaches about vote for this person or that person. Oh, no, that they can't do that because that's not politically correct, and we can lose our 501c3 if we do that. So they don't tell them to even get out and vote. So the church is taking on this mantra that, oh, well, you know, it's all up to God.
Look
well,
the other way.
And God will take care of it and let somebody else vote. That isn't the way it works. Faith is an action word. You're supposed to get up and stand and move on action. And so, folks, and it goes back to this, and I've been saying it for a long time, if you don't get out and vote, if you don't get out and use your voice, then it is on your head. It is not on the head of the sinner that's trying to take it over. It's on your head for not doing your part and getting up off that couch and going out and voting or telling your friend why or standing up when instead of saying, oh, I have a friend that's a homosexual. Well, if you have a friend, first, what has light got to do with dark? Nothing. But if you do know somebody that is homosexual, when you see them out of love, you are supposed to witness to them,
right.
to bring them to salvation, because they're in an abominable state at that point. You can't be an abomination and be saved. The word is clear on that. Okay, I better.
And if you don't have Yahweh, you're not going to make it, and things are getting really, really bad. So if you don't have him now, you should pray and get right with God, because if you don't have him, you're not going to make it.
And there's going to be some miraculous things happening. But I do see some positive light. I've seen some miraculous things happening, and I do believe, I believe the word. The word says that evil will get more evil, but light will get much brighter.
Right.
And so the people that are listening to the word and get into the word and do these things will be protected in that day of trouble. But it isn't about saving your life anyway. What it's all about is being ready to rule and reign with Yeshua for 1,000 years and then seeing your Father when he comes down at the end of the 1,000 years. But it is amazing that what we're headed into. We're living in the time of the end that is just right now, headed just right upon us. All the apostles wish they could have been here, and generation after generation after generation wishes they could have been here. We are here, folks. It will happen within your lifetime. If you don't die from cancer or a car wreck now I am not a date setter, but we are in that last generation. I thoroughly and truly believe it. Maybe we ought to give Omega Man a minute to talk.
Okay, he's awful quiet over there.
Yeah, I don't know what's the matter with him. Maybe he lost his mic or something.
No, he's respectful.
Oh, praise he's respectful.
The Lord.
Oh, yeah.
I keep myself muted so you don't hear me breathing over here. Praise the Lord. We're live with Pastor Dan and Linda Catlett of Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. What is your website, by the way? And I want you to tell people where they can go to tune into your radio broadcast.
Prophecyhour.com.
Prophecyhour.com. Let me tell you just a little bit about the Mission Church. We really, at the Wichita Mission Church, we don't have any set guidelines, you know, for people. They just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. And if we don't have a need to help them with what they have, we pray it in. Even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. In fact, police officers that I've met that came to the church for whatever reason said that we're a legend on the street. Well, I'm not a legend on the street. My wife's not a legend. But what it is because the action, the things that we've been doing consistently for 19 years is what the legend is. It's the Father's work. You see, when guidelines stop people and agencies from helping, they send people to us. Imagine that, Omega Man. people who have millions of dollars in your budget, send people to a place that, well, we have no budget. You have a budget, you got to have consistent income, right?
There's a hole in ours.
It's not a hole. It's the fodder sends us what we need when we need it. We are the last hope for so very many people. And we, folks, every one of us out there are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, every donation, no matter what size, helps. And the fodder notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. Donations keep us on the air. And so the point is, the radio program, my wife and I, she blesses us with 3 radio programs a month that she's on with me, and then we get to talk about whatever we want to talk about. And then I do, because I do 2 live programs every Thursday. At first one's from 5 to 6 p.m. Central. The second one's from 7 to 8 p.m. Central. There's an hour break in between. And she joins me on the first program for 3 programs a month. And we talk about, like I say, like this, current issues. On the other part of the programs, the ones that I do traditionally, and I've been doing it for many, many years, I interview people that write books, mostly on Bible prophecy and current events. But this week I'm actually trying to get a man in that wants to be on radio, and we're going to play a little bit of his messianic music, Greg Wilson. I'm trying to set him up for tomorrow, Mom. And he's going to play a little bit of his music first, and then we'll talk to him about his ministry. And that's what's going on in Wichita. But if you want to find out about it, it's prophecyhour.com. At prophecyhour.com, you can find links to all of our ministry. You can find a link to the, FedBook, or Facebook, I guess most people call it.
FedBook. I like that one.
Anyway, well, you can go to FedBook, and you can find the Wichita Mission Church.
Yeah, it's fed up. Fed up book.
Anyway. They keep putting me in Facebook jail. I got put in again the other day for that.
There's many names.
Anyway.
They don't like truth. If you're telling the truth, you'll go to jail. You spend most of your time in jail.
Yeah, my profile used to say Pastor Dan Catlin, and after about...
They took your title.
They took my title.
They took my sister, too, so don't feel bad.
Wow.
Anyway, but they gave yours back.
Yeah, 30 days later they did.
Anyway, so we even have a place over there for the Mission Church, so that people can see pictures from inside the church and different things, and see some of the great food that she and I make for the people. And so, Mom, why don't you tell them how they can donate?
You can donate online or over the phone or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find that information all at prophecyhour.com.
Right. Amen. And
if you do mail a package, though, please mail that to the 230 West 4th Street in Florence, because we're not at the church at 900 South Broadway except on Tuesdays and Fridays, and we can't really get packages there, so...
Normally, I tell them, if you're going to mail a package, call me or text me, and I will give you the address to send to, because I really don't like to give out our...
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so, absolutely. So you can mail packages, and people do that. In fact, somebody that has used to mail us packages is listening tonight with her husband, so I'm going to say a shout-out to hello, Russ. And hello, Esther, because they're tuned in right now. You want to say hi to them,
Russ and Esther?
Yeah, she was excited that you remembered her name.
I remember her, yeah.
Yeah, amen. She was really excited when I talked.
Well, the reason I remember names so well is because I used to hand write the mailing list before we had mailing labels. So, yeah. People that's been there for a while, I know their name.
Speaking of mailing lists.
Do we leave anything out?
Yes. Also, you put out a newsletter. Tell people about that.
Yeah, hey, listen, and a lot of you folks, and I know because you listen, if you want our mail-out newsletter, yeah, you can get it from us. But our mail-out newsletter is actually at Omega Man's site. When you look at his latest newsletter, if you go to it and go to the back, our mail-out newsletter is now attached to Omega Man's newsletter, and that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome sauce.
Hey, when's the new one coming out?
It's long overdue. I hope to have it done in about 30 days. I really delayed on this one, and it's been almost 4 months now. So, truthfully, we're getting them done about every 3 months.
That's the same with us. It's about time to get Pastor Dan on one over here on this end, too.
I need to get off my buttocks. But I want to encourage you folks to sign up for that. And, Brother, Sister Catlin, where do they go to sign up for your mailing list?
Well, at prophecyhour.com, you can find our address. And so either email me, call me, text me, or something. Now, if you can remember a phone number and you can text me to this phone number, or if you call me, I don't always answer the phone because I might get five solicitors first. But it's 316-619-4886. Or you can actually email me from prophecyhour.com. There's a box over there. You can tell me what you want and send it. It's right on the side. It's easy to find. People email me from it. Or you can email me at ELCM@messiahsbranch.org. But if you go to prophecyhour.com, it's got everything. Or if you go to your newsletter and you look at the last newsletter that you did, Omega Man, and they go to our newsletter that's in it, it has it written out every way there is to get a hold of us for every reason.
Fantastic. Pastor Dan and Linda, I want to thank you all for coming on tonight. God richly bless you. Folks, it's an honor to be here tonight with the Prophecy Hour, and I want to encourage you to support the ministry and tune into the radio show. Brother Dan, Sister Linda, God bless y'all, and we'll see you back soon.
All right.
Yes, sir. You have a blessed week.
All right. Shalom.